Hey everyone, this is Catherine Spires. The show is Smart Mouth. You knew that already because you pressed play, hopefully on purpose. Thanks for coming back for another week. Before we get into the show, this is the last episode I have to shill my live recording, Portland, February 16th. That's this Saturday if you're listening in real time-ish. I will be doing a show at 2 p.m. at a bar called Double Barrel. My guest will be Mohamed Elshiki, and he's hilarious. I even met him in real life and I confirm this. There will be trivia. And if you're a listener of the show, you should probably be able to crush the trivia pretty easily. And the prizes that I have for it are pretty good. So come through. I would love to meet everybody. Go to listenupportland.com for tickets. This episode, our guest was Josh Zad. He is the proprietor of Alfred Coffee, which has locations in California and in Texas and in Japan. I like the breakfast burrito there, so I decided to have him on the show. That's as good a reason as any. Also, I know that I repeatedly pronounce the country of Iran throughout this episode. I am embarrassed. But hopefully you can forgive me and still enjoy. Thanks.
I had oatmeal for breakfast.
That's sensible. Very sensible.
I didn't really have oatmeal for breakfast. Oh. I had nothing for breakfast.
That's what everyone always says. Yeah. Food people don't eat breakfast. This is what I've learned from doing this show.
But now we call it something fasting.
Intermittent fasting.
Intermittent fasting. So yeah. Now I have a medical legal term for it. So
so it's legitimate now.
I can do whatever I want. Yeah.
Good. I can fight back. So I feel like you like beverages. A lot.
I do like beverages.
You have a coffee company called Alfred Company.
Alfred Coffee.
You have a coffee company called Alfred Coffee.
Yep.
And you just started a beer company.
That's correct.
Called Calidad?
That's correct. Quality in Spanish.
Oh, okay. I mean, you're coming in hot with the name there.
I pretty much tried to hit the nail on the head with the most generic, basic, descriptive term for beer that could ever exist.
Okay. Like appealing to a broad audience?
Exactly.
You know, there was a beer in like the 60s that came in a can that was white and it just said beer down the side.
If I could do that, I would have done that. But I had to do something to kind of tip the hat to Mexico. So.
Okay. Because I read that it's a Mexican style beer. Is that correct?
It is.
What does that mean? I don't know anything about beer or coffee.
So it's the type of beer itself is Mexican style, which means it's a lager.
Mm-hmm.
It's sessionable, so you can have a bunch in a sitting.
And a session beer means lower alcohol?
Yes.
Okay.
There's no definition, but I mean, you could have many in a sitting, which would lead you to believe that if it's lower alcohol, you can have many of them.
That follows, yeah.
And there's corn in there, which is a trait of Mexican beers.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I had no idea. Yeah. Like, is it that's what's fermented to make it beer?
It's actually in the original, in the mash that goes in to make the beer.
Mm-hmm.
Ours is about 8 to 9% corn in there. So corn is generally like a filler.
Mm-hmm.
And it keeps the volume up there, but you're using less grains and malts and such.
Oh,
by replacing them with corn. And it gives you that kind of sweet finish and kind of balances out a lot of the hoppiness that generally you taste in mostly non-Mexican style beers or craft beers.
Oh, I'll be darned.
Yeah. Corn. It's the secret.
Do you put corn in your coffee too?
I do not. But the cups are probably made out of corn, something.
Yeah, probably.
Everything's made out of corn.
Yes, absolutely. Gotta love subsidies.
Exactly.
So why do you like beverages so much? I mean, why did your career path take you towards liquids?
I think it's that's all a matter of chance.
Mm-hmm.
My career, I like to think of myself more of as a problem solver. So the coffee shop started basically in the directly in the face of a lot of third wave coffee shops that were opening.
Can you explain to everybody what third wave coffee is?
I'm not really a coffee person, but third wave coffee is like the newest incarnation of coffee, where it's about the craft of the coffee, where the beans are sourced from. So not really for the masses, but more niche.
For the super enthusiasts,
but it's all about from like, you know, the conversation of like where the beans at which farm they're received from, mm-hmm. the roasting process, the machinery or the techniques by which you make that coffee. And it's, you know, much smaller scale than the second wave coffee that we're used to, which is, let's say, Starbucks.
Got it.
And then first wave being like, you know, Folgers, like coffee for the masses.
Okay.
Where there's no emphasis on really the process or, you know, the freshness of the coffee. It's just coffee is a complete tool
to Got just it.
Get caffeine.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
But Alfred Coffee isn't third wave?
It is third
wave. It is third wave.
Yes.
Okay.
So when I first started Alfred, the other third wave coffee shops that were really growing in there in the face of like this, you know, like against like the Starbucks of the world, were really driven by coffee enthusiasts, or, you know, like people that were specific about the craft of coffee, and they decided that they wanted to share that craft with other people.
Mm-hmm.
So it opened cafes, and everything in those third wave coffee shops, the ones that I was surrounded with, were focused on coffee first.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So things like experience, things like customer service, things like design all went secondary to coffee itself.
I see. Yeah.
Yeah. So like you can take like a Blue Bottle as an example. I mean, their craft of coffee, number one, you can get a pour over, take them 5-10 minutes to make it for you. but, you know, the design itself, I mean, they're probably not the best example, but like if you just think of it, it's very sparse. It's really to showcase the coffee itself,
yeah.
and not to showcase this cool material they made the bar with or the tables and chairs. So the space itself is, you know, it's there, but it's not about the space.
Right.
So I decided to flip it on its head, and I said, okay, great. If I can bring in amazing coffee, so mm-hmm. I'll get a good supplier, Stumptown, which we partnered with, they'll take care of the coffee portion. So no one can say my coffee is bad or I skimped on coffee.
Okay.
You know? But then me not being a coffee person allowed me to focus on customer service and experience. So great people we brought on, big smile, the music, the mood, the energy when you walk in the shop. Those are all things that I approach it from because that's my specialty.
Mm-hmm.
And I let the coffee people really help with the back of house coffee stuff. So we try to kind of flip it on its head and make some more warm and approachable that people would want to visit.
Mm-hmm.
For the feeling that they get and a good cup of coffee, but kind of opposite.
And the breakfast burritos.
Well, that's a newer incarnation, but that's the best breakfast burrito ever. So you know about it.
Yeah, there's one nearby to where I live.
Yeah, if you know about the breakfast burrito, you can't stop thinking about it like me.
So how did you get into, I mean, why did you, and why and how? I don't understand how people start businesses, which is funny because I'm starting one, but I'm basically just want to know all the tips and tricks.
It's the hardest one was obviously the first one, and it took me forever to open. So I worked in real estate with my family.
Uh-huh.
And we did a lot of high-end retail in a part of LA on Melrose Place, and I always had dreams to kind of do something on my own, not necessarily open up a restaurant or a cafe.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm like, you know, I could look down the line and in 20, 30 years, I'd be working with my family doing real estate or doing real estate on my own, but with the help from my family.
Mm-hmm.
So that's fun. But I always thought I was probably better than that, or I had at least one nice try in me to do something exciting.
Yeah.
So I found the idea, or I created the idea to drive more traffic for the real estate, sold my family on it. I'm like, hey, we'll get more people here if we open a cafe.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, good idea. We'll see you in 6 months when it fails. Later. And I was like, all right, at least I'll learn how to like go through the planning, the permit process, and how to hire an architect and how to lay out a plan. And I get to find cool tiles and put them on the walls and affect some kind of change.
Yeah.
So dragged my feet for about a year and a half opening this first location because I was really nervous.
Right. I understand that.
Everyone would give me lists of cafes to go visit when I was like in Portland or you know, New York, check out this coffee shop. Mm-hmm. Cause I just opened my mouth too much cause I was too excited. People would always ask me, when are you opening? Or like, have you been to this place? And I would go to a lot of these places and I would just get jealous or confused and nervous. Things like, where do they buy their paper cups from? How do they hire these people? Like really simple questions, would just get me like really upset and give me a lot of anxiety because, you know, there's a lot of things to consider if you just decide you want to open a restaurant.
Yeah.
You look around.
Yeah.
There's a lot of moving parts.
Yeah.
So for me, it really stressed me out. I took a lot of time to open the first location and then just got great advice from my dad. And he's just like, just do it and we'll figure it out, you know.
That's nice.
My uncle tried to talk me out of it because he's the food and beverage guy.
Okay.
And my dad's like, you know what? Screw it. We'll just open and we'll figure out the rest. You got this. So
did your uncle try and talk you out of it because he knows like how low the profit margins are in food and beverage?
Yes. So he's considered like the food and beverage guy in our family.
Okay.
And so he's been through it all.
Yeah.
So he's been on that side of the fence. And I think it was the day before I opened, he called me and he said, Josh, you're going to lose a lot of money. You need to stop what you're doing. Relax. Because I get hyper. You need to relax. You need to hire a manager from Starbucks and open in a few months when you're properly ready to open and your staff is trained. And given that it was a day or two before I was opening, mm-hmm. I was obviously devastated and not that confident to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
So I called my dad
mm-hmm.
and I'm like, your brother just said so-and-so.
Yeah.
And my dad's like, you know, not in those words, but like, screw him. Open up. I'll help you make it successful. Which really for him was just like, just open it up and figure it out. Don't worry what other people say. He's not necessarily correct.
Right. Right. Well, that's cool that you had your dad there to help you out with it.
Yes. I mean, he's started many businesses, so uh-huh. he just gets it. I mean, he's not necessarily an expert in any of the businesses he's ever started. But for him, it's all about putting your head down and just going forward. Because inevitably, there are a lot of challenges and mistakes that you probably did not expect are the things that are going to be the roadblocks. But you, as long as you keep moving and don't stay home and just get stressed out and never do it, just make it happen. So that's what I did. And I opened it. And of course, I had a lot of problems. My manager was awful.
So you didn't hire someone from Starbucks.
I was working every day. Not someone from Starbucks.
Did you ever end up hiring someone from Starbucks?
I have a lot of Starbucks employees and they're the best. Starbucks and Sprinkles cupcakes. They're the best.
That makes sense. Just like bigger companies where they train them.
Where routine.
Yeah.
They know how to make coffee. They don't show up to work late. Amazing.
That makes so much sense.
I mean, you can't show up late to work. That's number one. It just doesn't. Especially in this business.
Yeah.
It's not like an office where you just come in and out.
Right.
You might have been, you know, down the street doing something else. I mean, no, you're work here in this
right.
store.
Right.
In this room. So.
I want to go back to something really quick for our listeners who are outside of Los Angeles, which is that Melrose Place is a real location.
Yes. It's a real street that has, unfortunately, big letdown, nothing to do with the show itself.
Yeah, it's not an apartment building. It's a tiny little street full of like extreme luxury stores and a couple restaurants.
Yes.
That's where the real fancy stuff is.
It's very fancy.
Yeah.
Yes. And prior to Alfred opening there, you couldn't buy anything on the street for under $1,000.
That's so true.
So now
your coffee's such a bargain, relatively speaking.
I know. Now, you know, $2.50 for a cup of drip coffee. I
mean, oh, wow.
Bargain. And you get to keep the cup and a napkin. It's unbelievable.
That is wild. So what goes better with fried chicken, coffee or beer?
Beer.
Yeah, that seems
naturally,
right.
Yes.
Even though I don't know anything about beer or coffee, that seems right. Your like short list of favorite foods were very heavily chicken based.
Well, yes. I wanted to give one, but the top two are just chicken-based, so I clumped them together.
That makes sense. That's fine.
Yes.
Did you grow up eating fried chicken? And we're going to have to like define what fried chicken is. Did you grow up eating dishes that had chicken that was fried in them?
In some form or fashion, a lot of my dishes growing up had chicken in them.
Mm-hmm.
Fried, yes. Yes. We called it schnitzel.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you count chicken schnitzel as fried chicken?
Yeah.
I asked on Twitter, and whenever you ask something about food on Twitter, you get the most impassioned responses.
Well, what else would it be?
So I said, well, how I phrased the question actually was, do chicken nuggets count as
yes.
fried chicken? You said yes.
Of course.
This is so funny. Look, I actually, like, I went back to Twitter just now, and there's like 15 new responses to this question.
Well, I would never say like, hey, hon, I'm going to go get some fried chicken and come back with nuggets. Chicken nuggets. But I mean, if you're going to be technical in like the sphere of fried chicken, uh-huh. a lot of things fit in there.
Okay. So the manager of culinary innovation at McDonald's, he responded to my question.
No way.
Yeah, he really did. And he said, no, he said he doesn't consider a chicken tender to be fried chicken. And he says that for identity purposes, fried chicken is still on the bone with the skin on.
So then what would a chicken, what category, what's the up, like what, if you went up one category from chicken nugget, where would it fall? Doesn't even make sense.
Okay, listen.
Just chicken?
Yeah. And the thing is that I don't actually care how people define fried chicken. I think it is really funny that people get so passionate about this kind yes. of thing. But clearly, and I think that that's actually really an American or United Statesian consideration of what fried chicken on the still on the bone thing, I think is like mm-hmm. really unique to this culture.
Yeah.
Like if you think of like General Tso's chicken, that chicken is fried, but it's diced up.
Right. You just wouldn't call it fried chicken.
Yeah, exactly.
But mathematically speaking, it's fried chicken.
Yeah, mathematically. Yeah. Sure. What about buffalo wings? Is that fried chicken?
No, that's...
Okay, not. Why?
Because it could be baked. I don't even know how they make them. There's just a lot of sauce on them.
Yeah. Sometimes I started
They're baked sometimes.
I guess. Yeah. And then I wondered if sauciness had anything to do with whether it's considered fried chicken.
Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of felt that way too. Because
you don't know what the sauce is covering, like what process it's covering. Yeah. But I mean, it's probably fried though, because it's just faster and easier for places to do than bake them.
Yeah, exactly. But I think we're thinking of like, I mean, when we think of fried chicken, we think like Kentucky Fried Chicken style.
Yes.
That's really the standard bearer for Americans. And now for the world, it's the most popular fast food chain on the planet.
Yeah, they really came back hard.
Yeah. Now that it's KFC, not Kentucky Fried yeah. Chicken. Are you a Kentucky Fried or a KFC person?
I honestly try not to go to fast food very often.
Mm-hmm.
I went to Jack in the Box on Saturday for the first time, like in 4 years. And that was my go-to forever.
Did you like it when you returned?
No. They really? Messed up the Jack spicy chicken sandwich.
Really?
Yes. Completely ironic that I went there.
Yeah.
I just had a craving. And the chicken, instead of being like the long shape that like sticks out of the bun on both sides.
Uh-huh.
Like the breast size, it's like circular now.
Oh, like they it like stamped fits, it out?
Well, no, yeah. Like you look, like when you look, if you look at the bun straight down, you can't see the chicken sticking out.
Okay.
It used to stick out on two ends, you know, the pointy end and yeah. like the round big end. And it doesn't anymore. And the bun no longer has sesame seeds, which I could swear it used to have sesame seeds.
Interesting.
It's like a Kaiser bun or something. It was very.
Was the chicken change for you just an aesthetic disappointment, or did you think that it tasted different too?
I was already so sad that the taste was just...
It just tasted of whatever. Sadness?
Yeah, it was numbing.
Has anyone ever told you that you look like Mark Ruffalo?
I used to get that a lot. A lot.
Yeah.
And it's been years since I've heard that.
If you grew your hair out, you would get it
I
again. Know.
I wish I could grow my hair out. I would, maybe for Halloween next year.
Just put like a wavy yeah. wig on.
If I had messy hair.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, so in terms like going way back in history, wild fowl from the jungle was first domesticated in Southeast Asia like around 5000 BCE. So people have been raising them to eat them for a long time. But up until really recently, chicken was one of the more expensive meats that you could eat. Chicken farming in the United States is like turn of the last century battery farm. We eat so much more chicken than ever before in history. And you know the phrase, winner, winner, chicken dinner?
Yes. Because you get really lucky because it's so expensive?
Yeah. Okay. Like if you win in the lottery or gambling, then you can afford to actually eat chicken.
Got it.
Yeah.
Now that makes sense.
And in like the Middle East and in West Africa and in China, people talk, there's evidence of fried chicken way, way back in time. But it's a little bit different because you fry it first and then you cook it in a liquid.
Got it.
So that's different than what we consider. Again,
yes.
Just through. So what we consider like U.S. style fried chicken, it arrived in, it's a mixture of like Great Britain and then the enslaved people from Africa. Those two culinary cultures smushing together in the Southeast United States.
Okay.
The first written recipe for the fried chicken was from a British cookbook that was published in 1747. But you know how people make fun of white people for not using seasoning in their food?
Yeah.
So this recipe, you just rolled the chicken in flour and then fried it in pig fat. That's it.
Maybe the pig fat had some kind of flavor.
Well, that is what pig fat is good for.
Yeah.
But it didn't call for any herbs or spices. That was added by the African Americans in the Southeast United States.
Got it.
So it's kind of like the ultimate white people are boring story.
Yeah. And for the record, I ordered my Jack spicy chicken the other night, just plain only cheese.
Oh, no.
Well, no, no. I'll tell you why. Okay. I used to when I was younger. I'm obviously my palate has developed a lot more.
Yeah.
But I just don't want mayo and like the white tomato from Jack in the Box and like lettuce. I just didn't imagine the lettuce and tomato being like the best. So I was like, let me just get to the point of the chicken. And like, I want to taste apples to apples the way I used to eat it.
You know, that's actually
I'm more
like,
developed now.
Yeah,
I would get it in the way it's supposed to come. That's what I usually order everywhere, the way it's supposed to come. I just wanted to see if I remembered it the same way I did when I was like 17.
But you actually could twist that around and act like you're extremely refined because you know that the tomato is not going to be good.
Yes. I mean, I'm playing both angles right now.
Right.
You know,
right.
I'm trying to, I don't know. I don't know which way I want to go with this, but you can be the judge. But like the white tomato is, you know, like,
yeah, no,
hard.
I totally, as soon as you said
scary.
That, like, I knew what you meant.
It's coming out anyways. I mean,
yeah, if you're not going
to
eat it,
the juice of it doesn't need to be there.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Oh, that's funny. That's interesting. I get that. Did you eat, was that the only time like in the past month that you've eaten fried chicken?
No.
When else did you eat it?
I had it again last night because I was upset.
because like something happened, yeah. And you were upset, or your Jack in the Box experience?
No. The Jack in the Box experience was so unsatisfying that I went to Shake Shack and I had the fried chicken sandwich there.
Oh.
I'm telling you, this is 100% ironic.
Okay. Were you already familiar with the Shake Shack chicken sandwich?
Yes. I try not to really eat red meat. I'll eat it, but I mean, it's like if I can choose and it's not the best thing in the world, I'll get the chicken or the fish or something.
Mm-hmm.
I was familiar with it. Now that is the best sandwich.
Is it really?
It's amazing.
What do they put on it?
Man, there's so much stuff in there. There's for sure mayo or some kind of ranch dressing. There's lettuce, there's tomato, pickles. Oh yeah. Crazy unlimited pickles in there.
Unlimited.
And then it's like a lot. Like, you got to take some out. And then it's, of course, the bun where it's like not open at the bottom and all the juices like just track down there.
Oh, right.
Less with chicken, obviously, than with a burger.
Uh-huh.
But it's probably better that
way. Is there anything special about the chicken itself, do you think?
It's kind of thick.
Okay.
So like you actually get like a chicken, like a breast bite. Mm-hmm. Of, like, you know, a thick bite.
Right.
So it's not all like rubbery. It's like real chicken.
It's not pounded like schnitzel, but you did grow up with schnitzel.
I did grow up with schnitzel, but this is good. It's like a thick bite. I mean, we're talking like an inch thick of chicken probably.
That's a lot of chicken.
It's unbelievable. It's not as wide. It's not pounded. But it's amazing.
Okay. I've never had that before. I don't think I've had Jack in the Box chicken either.
You don't want to go there.
Right. I'm based on your description. I have no need.
They changed their innovation officer. McDonald's joke. Sorry.
Call back. So at the same time that chicken was becoming cheaper in the 1900s, people were also figuring out faster ways to cook it. They kind of went hand in hand because now that it was cheap, people who owned restaurants wanted to serve more of it. They had to figure out a quicker way of doing it because frying it used to take a long time. So one of the first places that large scale figured it out was, in fact, quote unquote, Colonel Harlan Sanders. Who I didn't ever put two and two together. This is pretty stupid of me. But he was actually like the white suit and the facial hair was supposed to be like a callback to like plantation era South.
Interesting.
I'm a dumb West Coaster who doesn't pick up on stuff like this all the time.
I have no idea.
Right. We don't understand like Civil War era stuff if we live in this part of the world.
Don't. I don't pick up on those things.
Yeah. So that's neat, isn't it?
I thought you were supposed to be a doctor. No, really.
Really?
Yeah, something How like come? That. I don't know. I just thought like he's like it's like surgical, so it's like, you know, you can like see, I don't know.
Surgical.
Yeah, like doctors wear like white coats, you know, so it's like if there's a blood, you just change it because you know it's there. Like, so it's just.
That is so funny.
I don't know.
That's interesting.
Yeah. I'm thinking of the Kellogg guy, actually. I think he was a doctor.
I can't remember if he was a real doctor or a fake doctor.
There's a movie about that a long time ago. Kellogg, and there's like these baths that people would go in.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no.
Mix them up with Colonel Sanders. Yeah.
That's funny. Sorry. Well, they do kind of like look the same. They're images kind of, the same. Of them. Yeah, no. John Kellogg ran a sanitarium and did odd things to rich people in it.
That's what it was.
Yeah. Oh, we've talked about him a lot on this show because he was so unusual. There's so many knockoff fried chicken KFC places around the world, like Superstar Fried Chicken.
I haven't seen that one.
That's mostly Where? In Iran.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
There's American Fried Chicken in East Asia.
Okay.
They just change one word, use the same font.
Perfect.
Trick people.
And then KFC just keeps changing their logo to keep them on their toes.
Yeah, you got to keep people on their toes.
It's expensive for those guys to change their logos.
Yeah. One of the like coolest little cultural misunderstandings that I've ever heard of, I like that in Japan on Christmas Day, it's kind of considered traditional now to get a bucket of KFC.
That's funny.
Yeah.
I was there not on Christmas, actually. Very, I was there. I just got back from there last week, but I was there last year, very close to Christmas as well.
Mm-hmm. Last year?
Yeah. I think I've heard that before.
Yeah. I just think it's cool that it's a little bit like we do eat like enormous birds on American holidays. Yeah. And Christmas doesn't have like the religious history in Japan the way that it does here.
Not. It does not. They're just like giving gifts and buying things.
Yeah. So and eating chicken.
Everyone's just buying the same thing one day. Yeah. They just buy stuff.
Buying stuff and eating chicken seems like a universal joy.
Yes. There is a Shake Shack there, I just saw.
There, Shake Shack is opening so aggressively.
Yeah, very aggressively. I saw one in Hong Kong. I saw one in Tokyo.
Yeah, and it's funny.
But like one.
Right. I mean, I'm sure it's really expensive, but we actually had Mark Rosati, who is one of the chief guys at Shake Shack on this show also, and he was explaining their growth. But it is funny because at first it was so associated with New York, back when it was just the one stand that people waited in line for.
Yeah.
Do you wait in line for food ever?
Never. Impossible.
I agree.
I think New Yorkers like to stand in lines. I have a theory that it's like if a New Yorker sees a line, they'll just stand in it first and then ask people in front of them, like, what are we doing here? What's going on? Just in case they don't like fall behind.
Right.
And, like,
right.
Miss out.
They have FOMO so bad.
Majorly. They're just, but they're used to queuing, you know? I'm like,
yeah.
Let's go. Let's queue. Let's go. Let's queue. And so I will not wait for anything.
I agree. Even in my 20s, I wouldn't wait in line to get into a club.
Anxiety.
It gives you anxiety?
Yeah. I mean, especially waiting for food. I mean, if your friends are inside the club, you got to wait a few minutes. You got to wait.
But what so you'll wait for the club, but not for food.
Yeah. I mean, it depends. It depends.
I've heard the same thing about San Francisco about waiting in lines. And one time I actually lived it because there was a line to get into Byright, where they have the ice cream that's so famous. But across the street, there's a grocery that sells Byright.
Unbelievable.
So I went into the grocery store and got my pint of ice cream and came out and the line hadn't moved.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
There's certain things I wait in line for.
Like what?
L'Entrecote in Paris.
Okay.
The steak frites place.
Yeah.
It's the best thing in the world to eat.
Is there more than one location?
There's like five or six.
Okay.
There's like two branches of it. There's like this sister or somebody branched out and like started her own version.
Mm-hmm.
But the OG one, there's like, I think five of them.
Okay.
I will wait.
Really? Steak frites that good, huh?
It's the best meal you ever eat.
That's a huge thing to say.
I know, it's crazy, but it's steak with like peppercorn butter sauce and french fries, two rounds of it with the salad, and that's all you can order. You just have to say like what
do you mean two rounds?
You can get a medium rare, or first of all, you just sit down, it's like medium rare or medium. That's the only choice.
That I agree with.
They bring you the steak. They pour the sauce on it.
Uh-huh.
They'll come dump fries on your on top of it.
Uh-huh.
And then when you're winding down, they'll come do it again. And that's it. It's the best thing ever. And because they just make that, it's perfect all day long and hot.
Okay.
It's worth waiting in line for.
Okay.
And it's just there's no alternative for that. There's no across the street they have the same steak frites.
Not the same.
You know, I'm just saying, in the I'm going to throw back again to the Bio-Rite example. It just, that's a one of a kind. You can't do that again.
Right. Okay.
They've been doing it. People have tried. It's impossible.
I see. What else?
Well, the other fried chicken that is my favorite is the Honor Bar Ding's Crispy Chicken Sandwich. I'll wait to sit there and eat that.
Where's Honor Bar?
It's in Beverly Hills next to South Beverly Grill. So it's a Hillstone restaurant.
Oh, okay. Hillstone's one of those restaurant groups that does good work.
The best. They're like, they never let you down. I'll say it like that.
Man, when you like something, you really
I get hot. I get hot. I know what I like and I'm very specific about it.
Uh-huh.
And I don't really like to venture out.
Okay.
Because I don't like to be disappointed. Let's see, I Saturday night, Jack in the Box. I tried and I had a feeling that it was just going to let me down. It sucked, you know, but it's okay. It's okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, Honor Bar is like the kind of like the burger joint Hillstone, like their most casual type of restaurant.
I see. Uh-huh.
And it's no reservations.
Mm-hmm.
There's a bar and there's tables and chairs.
Mm-hmm.
And it's highlighted by like the menu's highlighted by like a burger. And they call it the Ding's Crispy Chicken Sandwich.
Do you know why it's called Ding's Crispy Chicken?
I don't know.
Okay.
But it's...
We can let it be a mystery.
Anybody who knows that sandwich understands what I'm talking about.
All right.
And then I'll actually take it a step further.
Yeah?
I heard a rumor that... That same sandwich was knocked off from Son of a Gun, which is the Animal Guys' restaurant.
Mm-hmm. And John and Vinny.
Yes. They created it first. Honor Bar knocked it off. And there's some kind of beef there. I'm not going to name names.
Oh, my gosh.
But I heard there's beef over who created the Ding's Crispy Chicken Sandwich. Not the name, of course,
uh-huh.
but the recipe for it.
Ooh. Well, what makes it different then? Why is it such a unique recipe that it's worth having beef over?
It's just like, it's a statement. Chicken sandwich, you know?
It's
a statement sandwich. They're very different. The one at Son of a Gun is also unbelievable and up there, but it's the chicken itself is different. The bun.
Oh, okay.
The presentation.
Is there any particular like spice in the...
There's something in there, yeah. And there's a sauce they call Ding sauce. It's crazy.
I mean, that sounds really good.
I'm telling you, I should have just brought it, but it was so far out of the way. I mean...
I never want to go to Beverly Hills, but I'm like considering it.
I recently... Yeah. There's a couple places in Beverly Hills that are cool.
Like yeah, right. Like what?
There.
Well, okay. Besides that.
They have like really fun souffles at the Beverly Hills Hotel. You got to check out the souffle. They have like 17 days of souffles.
17 days of souffles?
Yeah. They do like a different one every single day in December for like
a
17 day run.
Oh, okay. But can you get souffle other times of the year?
You can. But like the flavors kind of change this time of year.
Oh.
Where else is cool in Beverly Hills? Alfred Coffee is amazing. In Beverly Hills.
Okay.
Really
all
bringing
right.
the cool back. Really bringing the cool back to Beverly Hills. But yeah, you're right. I mean, outside of a couple things, it's not cool there at all.
Did you grow up in LA?
Yeah.
Did you grow up in Beverly Hills?
West LA originally, like okay. Westwood area.
Mm-hmm.
And then Beverly Hills eventually, yeah.
Okay. So these are your people, Westsiders?
I mean, I'm not really like South. West of the 405, no, but like Beverly Hills and Westwood's like my hood. I can't walk through Westwood without like being like very nostalgic. That's my childhood.
Oh,
yeah,
that's cute.
Yeah, so Westwood, Beverly Hills, not Brentwood.
No,
and not further down. No,
never Brentwood.
I like Brentwood. It just doesn't remind. It doesn't hearken my youth.
Did you go to UCLA too?
I went for grad school. For
you're really like a hometown hero kind of guy.
I mean, yeah.
No, actually, this all tracks. You know what you like, and you stick with it.
Yeah. UCLA. I used to go to camp there.
That's very cute. So what about Korean fried chicken? That became extremely popular in the United States about 10 years ago, but it's different than American fried chicken.
I'm not so familiar with it. I've heard of it, of course, but...
Right. So they fry it twice.
Interesting.
And the exterior, it's often described as shattering. like glass-like.
Awesome.
And there's sauces on it too.
It's probably spicy.
You can order it lots of different ways.
Okay.
But generally speaking, more spicy than the 11 herbs and spices.
Yes. What's like the pinnacle of Korean fried chicken?
Gyochon chicken.
Interesting.
I think it's all over the world now. See, Kyochon. Maybe it's pronounced Gyochon.
Interesting. So yeah, I'm not so familiar with it, but
would you try it even though you've never had it?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
For sure.
So it's coated in like a really thin batter. You fry it once, you cool it all the way again, and then you fry it again, which is the same way that the most delicious French fries in the world are made.
Yes, I agree.
Double frying.
Double frying. Yeah. Is the move.
I mean, it seems like, of course it is. Fry something once, that's good. Fry it twice.
Of course. Yeah. What could go wrong? Yeah.
What about karaage? Which is Japanese fried chicken, but it means fried Chinese style.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So, I feel like I've had it.
I'm sure you have.
Yeah.
It's all over LA, but it's pieces of chicken. It's not on the bone.
Okay. Oh, yeah. I had it in Japan.
Oh, yeah. Totally.
Yeah. Like drinking food.
Yeah. Exactly. It's at izakayas a lot.
Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Did you get it where they just serve it with one slice of lemon?
Yes.
And a dip in sauce? That's all,
yeah.
Yeah.
It's actually amazing.
It's so good, right?
But it's like one of those meals where there's like you try like 30 different types of food that like you forget that you had fried chicken. Because there's so many, like there'll be like a sashimi. There'll be like a giant crab.
Yeah.
You know? And they'll like grill meats for you in front of you. And then there's some fried chicken. So.
I love izakaya eating because it's really just a bunch, as you described it, just a bunch of bites.
Yeah. You never know what's coming.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
It's so good. Do you, when you go on these trips, are you like, oh, I own a beer company now. I have to drink all the Japanese beer for reference.
Well, in Japan, there's really like the heavy hitters. It's just Kirin is like the beast that's everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't go wrong with the ice cold biru. That's what we say, like ice cold biru.
Uh-huh.
And it's on draft. It's amazing. And they have these crazy draft machines. They just press a button and it comes out of somewhere.
Oh, really?
It's amazing. And it's icy cold every time.
Do you like it that cold?
Love it that cold.
Interesting.
Yeah.
But
freezing.
I mean, really and truly, do you do research, beer research?
No.
Okay. Just quote unquote research?
Yeah. I mean, I know what I like. I like Mexican beers and I like the like beachier ones, the Mexican beers.
Mm-hmm.
I really like Japanese beers also because they're also very light.
Okay. And
they're very similar in profile.
Oh, I
to
see.
Mexican beers. You know, color wise and alcohol level wise.
Oh, okay.
And they're just refreshing more than anything, you know?
That makes sense. Thai food goes well with beer too.
I don't like Thai food.
What?
Too spicy.
Especially
the one right here.
Mild.
What's the one right here?
Night Market?
Man, the papaya salad, I mean, like, kill me.
No, that papaya salad is out of control.
And I had it like twice and I forgot the second time. I'm like, it's the most harmless sounding thing on the menu. And they're like, oh, we can make it not spicy for you. And then I'm just like, the first bite, whole meal ruined. Take me home. I'll never come here again. I said it and like, I haven't been back since.
What about like Pad Thai? Pad Thai is not spicy.
That's great.
Okay.
Yes. I just always think of Night Market. And it's like bad, bad memories of that place.
I understand that. It's really good food, but they're not trying to not be spicy.
I know, but they make promises like, oh, we can calm down the spiciness for you.
They make promises they can't keep.
And no one's communicating that to the guy in the back and it's just like this, or lady in the back.
And Thai food does have a tradition of fried chicken.
Yeah. I hope it doesn't. Probably has a lot of lemongrass, though, which I really hope it doesn't.
Well, if you don't like lemongrass, that's a bigger problem for Thai food
just,
for you.
It's just not, you can have a little bit of lemongrass, but it just can't be like lemongrass fried chicken.
I see. So traditionally, Thai fried chicken is fried longer than every other kind of fried chicken. And they actually like coat it in the stuff overnight. So extremely marinated and extremely well done.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds kind of interesting, I think.
Yeah.
Central American fried chicken has cornmeal.
Corn.
You're a big fan of corn.
No, it's just it's a recurring theme.
Yes. Yes, it is. Oh, but then in West Africa, they cook it in peanut flour.
Interesting.
I think that's really interesting. I think it must taste different than what we're used to on the West Coast.
There should be a fried chicken place with a globe, and they serve 10 different kinds of fried chicken from different regions. I mean, it's genius.
Dude.
You know?
Cut me in on this, because if you do it. It's like,
you do the research, I'll implement. Let's go.
I like am so not kidding right now. Yeah.
They'd be like, I'll have two pieces of West African and one piece of Central American and three Korean.
Like, this could actually be a good idea. People would be so into it. And especially in LA, where people love trying new things all the time. Chicken world. I love it. And you could sell your own beer there.
Of course.
That's vertical integration, yes, isn't it?
Exactly. Where are we going to open it?
I think it's got to be an East Side thing.
Yeah, it has to.
Maybe Arts District, though?
No. No way.
Why not?
I mean, I don't know. It's just not enough people.
Not enough people.
It's not enough people.
How many people do you need? Where would you open it?
I mean, East Side's okay. Downtown is just always like, next year it's going to be crazy. Next year.
Every year we say next year?
I've been here my whole life. 30 years. It's like, next year. When is it going to be like actually people walking around? I've never seen, you know, on the Saturdays and Sundays, yes, but like.
You need people to be eating chicken all week long.
I need like regulars, you know?
Right.
Yeah. East Side's great. We'll do it on Mitchell, Torino, and Sunset.
Okay.
We'll flip Alfred into Chicken World.
I love it.
We just need to get a hood. That's the
yeah,
problem.
A hood for yeah, sure. A hood for sure. That's a small space to be doing a whole world of chicken.
You can do it. It's probably the same size as, what's it called? The other fried chicken place. Howlin' Ray's. Can't be that big.
Oh, yeah. Howlin' Ray's
pre-expansion, of course.
Yeah. Okay. So how do you, must not like hot chicken if you don't like spicy food.
I don't like waiting in line.
Also that.
Yeah, that's number one.
That's the craziest line ever.
I know.
And it hasn't abated. People could wait three hours.
It's a crazy line. I won't wait in the line. I'll wait till someone has a birthday and like figures out the way to get it to their birthday.
Yeah. Oh, man, that's so interesting. And so hot chicken comes from Nashville very specifically, but it's taken over the world in the last year.
Nashville is very trendy right now.
That's very true. Trendy. Yeah. I'm really sad that I've never been because I feel like I missed out on.
My mom went there. That's how trendy it is. She did a girls trip and they went to Nashville. I was like, missed the train on that one.
Yeah. Okay. So do you have any like, are you German or anything like that that would explain why you were raised with schnitzel?
No, I'm Persian, Iranian.
So just schnitzel like worked its way into your family?
I think it's like a Jewish thing.
Yeah, having it chicken and
pounded
of pork.
Chicken breast, like breaded, like it's a quick thing to make.
Uh-huh.
My family is like really heavy on chicken. I think all Persians are heavy on chicken.
Why is that?
Honestly, I don't have the answer for it, but now that I'm thinking across my family, my wife's family, there's a lot of chicken everywhere. Yeah, Persians are very big on chicken. Like chicken kebab, like on the bone or off the bone. That's like a very Persian thing.
Okay.
Like when you order, they're like on the bone or off the bone in Farsi.
Oh.
And we joke, my sister and her friends joke, like there's no other culture where like that question even comes up, on the bone or off the bone.
Oh, okay.
When you order like kebab specifically.
Okay. Can we give a little language lesson to the listeners?
Yeah. So
right
it's ba ostochun or bi ostochun.
Okay.
So ba with bone ostochun or bi without ostochun.
Okay. Let's say it again. On the bone?
Ba ostochun.
Off the bone.
Bi ostochun. It's crazy.
We just provided a service to everybody.
It's crazy. It's crazy. Ba or bi. On the bone, off the bone. So it's, yeah, that's a very strange thing. But lots of schnitzel, which I'm thinking now has to be a Jewish thing. Like it's like more traditional.
Yeah, you just got it from your German
but
brethren.
Imagine when I go like, college or I'm traveling and they're like schnitzel, I'm like, oh my god, schnitzel, and then realize it's pork and
yeah,
I don't eat pork.
Yeah,
and I had never even imagined like schnitzel my whole life was chicken, but to the rest of the world it's always pork.
Did that actually happen to you?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know where I was. We can just say Germany, but I was like, I was like, oh my God, I never even imagined that it could be made with pork. Like, it's not even a factor.
That's so interesting.
I'm like, and then I'm like, do you have chicken? They're like, of course not, because nowhere has chicken, but the U.S. has chicken everywhere.
The U.S. and Iran just love.
I don't know. Yeah, probably.
That's like our shared culture.
Yeah, exactly. We're sister cities. Silver Lake and Tehran. Yeah, Tehran has a sister city. I don't know where it was, but it was kind of funny.
Oh, you know LA's sister city is Berlin.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Yeah. So it's all a connection.
Yeah. Berlin's great.
Berlin is great.
Great food.
Yeah, it does have
shocking
great food.
Shocking food.
Shocking?
Like very impressive.
Yeah. And so much vegan food.
Yeah. A lot of vegan food.
Yeah.
A lot Asian food, of course.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you, they have great avocados in Berlin. I know this sounds crazy, but
does.
Like, I went to like five or six different places while I was there, and all of them had like perfectly ripe shaped avocados.
Did you ask where they got them from?
I did not. I like found afterwards, I was thinking about it. Someone was like, how was Berlin? I'm like, they have great avocados. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And I hadn't like registered. I was like, it's the craziest thing. I go to breakfast one place, breakfast another place, lunch. And I'm like, where are these avocados coming from? Because you got to imagine it's like, isn't it landlocked? I think it's landlocked. Almost entirely landlocked. I mean, it's like not California for sure. You're not in California. And like, where do these avocados come from? Which direction?
So I have a theory that they saw you coming. They were like, oh, that guy looks like a Californian.
I don't even really care about avocados. It was like thrown on me everywhere I went. Yeah, they're like,
see?
They're like, let's show this guy what's up.
They're like, that sounds like a TV accent.
They gathered all six avocados in the city and just had a guy like tracking me and cutting him for me.
They're like, we got to serve him these in case he's a Yelper.
Yeah, exactly. Not a Yelper.
Awesome. Would you put avocado on a fried chicken sandwich?
No.
It's too much, right?
Too much avocado. I'm over it.
Oh.
Just like you eat it where it's supposed to be. You just can't have avocado everywhere.
Okay.
It gets a little bit.
Do you serve avocado toast at Alfred?
We do at the Silver Lake location, and we have avocado bagel variation in Beverly Hills. But yes.
That's funny. You're really pandering to both your audiences in both those towns.
Well, it's very specific what we do, the food programs. There's no like rhyme or reason to it. Silver Lake, there's a lot of coffee shops up and down the street.
Mm-hmm.
We have a great kitchen there.
Oh, okay.
So food program naturally to compete with a lot of the other beverage places. We have to have like an edge to compete and kind of get people in there. So that's kind of where the food program came in there. And of course, avocado toast is just like everyone really likes it.
Yeah.
The demand is there. And then Beverly Hills, the bagels. It's a deeper story why we have bagels there, but it's great. Do you want another deeper story?
Yes.
Okay, cool. So once upon a time, and it closed 2 years ago, was this bagel place in Beverly Hills called St. Urbain Bagels.
Okay.
And it was like the spot. It was like the peach pit of young adults and their parents who would bring them there. It was a bagel place.
Uh-huh.
Some legendary employees that used to work there and could make like 12 bagels at a time. Everyone used to go to St. Urbain Bagels. I mean, it was the place you went. It was on North Beverly Drive.
Did it exist for a long time?
As far back as I can remember.
Okay.
Probably like 15 years, maybe 20. I don't know. But it was the spot.
Mm-hmm.
They closed abruptly per eater. I did like look this up again the other day. And then I guess they sold like their formula and the recipe or whatever. Well, they got pushed out because of high rent.
Oh,
greedy landlords. And they sold the recipe to another bagel maker in LA. Bueller's Bagels, and they have Bagel Works in Santa Monica, a couple of things. And that recipe, I guess those new owners started using it as like the vehicle for like their wholesale. So they call their wholesale bagel program, St. Urbain Bagels.
Okay.
And they have the old menu in there, and I found it. And so like I approached them. I said, hey, I want to bring back St. Urbain Bagels in Beverly Hills. I want to be the people's champ and like get like a little publicity buzz, right? In Beverly Hills. So we resurrected the program. We get the bagels, the same formula bagels as they used to have over there. And we have a really fun bagel program. So it's St. Urbain Bagels at Alfred. And I thought I would like the world would explode, but like 30 people cared, but it's fine. But it's fine. Cause like the PR moment was like nothing, but like me and my friends thought it was amazing.
Yeah.
And I get to do fun stuff like that. So that's awesome.
Uh-huh.
And the good, the, well, the great thing is that people really just enjoy the bagels, like Saint Urbain or not. They're like, we love the bagels you have there.
So that's good.
I brought it back. I'm the people's champ for like,
yeah, you are.
12 people.
That's hey, more than most people get.
That's good. But that's just an example of like, I have a great opportunity to do fun things and just decide location specific elements.
That is cool.
Which is a great benefit. And I'm very grateful for that.
So where should people follow you on social media?
Alfred or Alfred T are the two Alfred brands.
Okay.
Cali Dad for Cali Dad Beer at CALIDAD. Or if you want to follow me, it's just Josh from Alfred.
That makes sense.
Because everyone's always like, hey, are you Josh from Alfred? And I'm like, actually, I am Josh from Alfred now. So just less complications in my life.
That makes total sense.
Hey, are you Josh from Alfred?
Awesome. Well, Josh, thank you so much.
Pleasure. Thank you so much. This was so fun. Second spasm. You put both arms up across your face. Your knees start wiggling all over the place. You flap your arms and your feet start kicking. Then you know you're doing the funky chicken.